has just finished singing, "I ain't got long to stay here." Now, I can't say "I ain't" because I'm English. But the length of my days is not very long. Whichever way I want to put that, I really do not have a lot of time to spend on this earth. That's why when you go to be employed, or if you are an employer, you should seriously consider this philosophy of employment. All that you are selling to your employer is your time. And the most precious thing God has given to you is your time. Therefore, you should get the biggest dollar for your time that you can get. I think you should think about that philosophy very carefully. Therefore, you should enjoy every moment. The Apostle Paul says we must learn to redeem the time because we really don't have very much time. Our time, says the Bible, is like a smoke that goes up in the air. The Indian used to, I'm told, light a little fire, cover it with his horse blanket, and then let the smoke puff up into the air in a smoke signal. And that, says the Bible, is like our life. It goes up into the air, it's seen for a little while, just for a few moments, and then it evaporates and is gone. Our lives are like a smoke that has gone up. Or a child sitting on his parent's knee, listening to a story, the Bible says that our lives are like a tale that is told. Now the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 says, "I'm going to die, and for me to die is gain." Let me just give you a little English lesson on the word again. The word again comes from two words in English, a gain. If you pronounce it again, you lose the meaning of the word. It is a gain. For instance, if you say something, you tell me some choice thing that you've had on your mind for a little while, I say, "Tell me again." So that in the repetition of what you say, it becomes a gain to my mind, the student. All of you are going to be students in a few days. Oh, how glorious. You're going back to school again. And the parents are sighing with relief, for they are saying, in effect, "Again, I'm free." It's a gain to me to have my children at school, but it's a gain for my children to go to school. For at school you will learn, 1 2 is 2, 2 2s are 4, 3 2s are, and you'll work it out, 5 or something, and you'll get your full marks. It should be a gain to you, and you'll say to the teacher, "Teacher, will you repeat that so that I may gain?" The instrument player plays a piece over. He reads the music the first time. He plays it over on whatever instrument he has. But then he plays it again and again until it becomes a gain to him. That is, he has gained the knowledge of what he's playing so that now he can put his heart and soul into that, that it may be a gain to the people, the congregation of people that listen to him. Now there, very quickly and briefly, is an explanation of the word again. But the apostle here tells us in verse 21 of Philippians 1, "For me to die, or rather for me to live, is Christ." Jesus Christ is living in me. And for me to die becomes a gain. This is gain. This is something terrific that happens to me if I die. Now you say, "Hey, preacher, hold on a minute. I don't want to die." Well, none of us really want to die. It's not dying that bothers us, it's the means by which we die that bothers us. But listen, for the Christian, says the Apostle Paul, it is again, it is strictly something very wonderful. I benefit from dying. I actually will benefit in death. You see, while I'm on earth, two things happen to me. I am saved from the guilt or the penalty of sin by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I am saved from the power of sin by trusting in the power and might and presence of the Holy Spirit in me. But when I die, I am taken from this world and it becomes a gain to me because I leave this world and go into the arms of Jesus Christ, and it becomes a gain because I am simply taken from the very presence of sin. You see, the Spirit of God may dwell in me, but because of my attitude, because of my performance, my behavior, I may grieve the Holy Spirit and then be open to fall back away from the power that is over the power of sin into the power of sin. And I become a sinning person, a carnal Christian, someone who delights in grieving the Spirit of God. But when I am dead, I have no more problem with sin, for sin is taken from me. For I am taken from the very presence of sin, and I am absent from this body which is sinful, and I am present with the Lord in a new body which is sinless. Now then, the Bible makes seven basic statements about people that won't believe what I have just said. This little piece of theology, the Bible says, people that don't believe it are foolish. For instance, in Psalm 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we call him an atheist. Then we discover in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock of sin. Or we say they minimize the awfulness of sin. J.C. Ryle, in his book on holiness, says, oh, that man would understand the sinfulness of sin. We discover in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That means a man that is self-confident. I have got where I am by what I am. Thou fool, says the scripture. Notice also in Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. He is filled with a self-deceit, and he goes after his own deceptive way. We discover also in Luke 11 and verses 39 and 40, ye fools, says Jesus, your inward path is full of ravening and wickedness. In other words, hypocrisy. People are hypocrites. People go around saying one thing, and in their hearts there is a ravening, there is a wickedness, there is a deceitfulness, there is a wretchedness. Now you're going back to school, those of you who are young, and you're going, some of you, to colleges, and you're going to discover, even in a Christian college, that it's as if the devil is incarnate. That is, the devil is at work on earth. Even amongst Christians, you will discover factions. You will discover all sorts of nasty little arguments and backbiting, unkind things, and your heart will ache. You'll want to come home to mother and father. Oh, I know right now it sounds glorious to be away from mother and father. But the time comes when they're nicer ogres than the ogres you now meet in the world. There's something about the ogre you know being better than the ogre you don't know. And as you discover this, you will discover that people are very hypocritical, terribly hypocritical. I had one young person say to me not very many years ago, I went to a Christian school thinking that everything was going to be great, and I found the teachers arguing with the teachers. Well, that happens. Don't concern yourself with that. There are foolish people in every walk of life. Listen to Romans 1:22. People profess, says the Apostle Paul, they profess themselves wise and they become fools. They reject divine wisdom and they try to put their own wisdom into effect behind a cloak of religiousness or religiosity and so-called righteousness, hypocrisy. And again in Luke 12 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus speaks about the neglect of the salvation that he offers to mankind. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. I ain't got much more time. The spiritual rings out the words. The Englishman has to say, there isn't very much more time. The Bible says, if I am to die, that's gain. Only if I have been living for Christ. Look at the rest of this verse. For me to live is Christ, and for me, therefore, to die is gain. The therefore is not in the scripture. I put it in. To bring home to you and to me, to us in this congregation, that we may understand that the words are that if I am living for Christ, when I die, there is gain. Great gain. Now, how do I live for Jesus Christ? First of all, I receive him as my personal savior. That's a fact that has to be faced. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background. But this I do know, that it is necessary for every man and every woman and every boy and every girl to come to the place where they receive Jesus Christ as their personal savior. For Jesus has said this in his scripture when he was speaking to his disciples. No man can come to the Father God except he comes through me. There is only one way, says Jesus. I am the door into that way. I am the way that he walks upon. I am the way to eternity. My blood cleanses from all sin, and all are sinners, therefore, need to be cleansed. And Jesus taught that doctrine. Now, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the writer is saying this, if I am to have that gain, I must be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that you and I can say today, I am going to live for Jesus Christ because I know not what the morrow may bring forth. There is one certainty about life. We will die. Those of us that are alive when Jesus Christ returns will be caught up with him in the air after that those that are dead have been raised. It'll be a split-second timing. But to all intents and purposes, we shall all die. Because this flesh is flesh, and flesh came from dust, and it returns to dust. This body is made in this world. Our new bodies are to be given to us, and they will be called heavenly bodies. Just as we have terrestrial bodies, so we will put on celestial bodies. And we must understand that. For me to die is gain. Let me ask you the question in this congregation. If you die now, is it gain? Young lady telephoned her mother in 1972. And she said, Mummy, I'm coming home from Ashland College in Oregon. We were into the midst of a terrifying winter. Her mother said something like this, be careful, dear. Oh, said the girl on the other end who was 18 years old. If I don't come home, I'll be with Jesus. Just around Portland, Linda had given the steering wheel to her friend. They were just going along a straight piece of road. It was icy. The car got out of control, spun off the road, and as it whizzed off the road, it hit a rock. The passenger door burst open, and Linda fell out and cast her head upon a rock and was dead. You're not too young to die. You're just old enough. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but to die for the Christian is gain. I gain something mighty. I am lifted from the presence of sin. And in being lifted from the presence of sin, I am lifted into the arms of Jesus Christ. And there, for the rest of eternity, I rest. Satan cannot even reach me. Satan cannot even attract me. Satan cannot in any way grasp hold of me. I am free from the shackles of this earth. I am free from the presence, the penalty, and the power of sin for all eternity. It is a gain to die. You see, the scripture teaches us very distinctly. The apostle says this in in 22 and 3. If I live in the flesh, I have to labor, I have to work with this flesh, and I bear fruit with the work that I do. Yet I don't know what to choose, whether to be with Jesus, which is so much better, to be in the arms of Jesus. If I had the choice, that's where I would be. If I could leave this world and all its rottenness and its sinfulness, if I could leave it all and to be with Jesus, which is so much better, I would do it. However, I have a ministry to perform. I have a thing that I must do. God has given me a challenge in life, And the life that he has loaned to me, I must spend for him. I must live for Christ. That's easier said than done. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, the apostle cries out, he says, oh, death, where is your sting? And he looks down in the hole, he says, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who has given us the victory. Death has no sting and grave no glory, for we are free in the presence of Jesus. You see, some things take place when we leave this world. In death, there are earthward things. In heaven, there are heavenly things. Whilst I live on earth, I have a loss. I am always bucking the clock. I am forever trying to beat those hands that remorselessly go round and round to the 12 hours and on to the 24, and from one day into the next, and one week into the other, and one month into the next, and one year into the next year, and the next year. And the older you get, the faster the years go, and the easier it is to calculate everything by the calendar and not the clock. While I live on earth, I am in time. But when I am with Jesus, I am in eternity. I am in eternity. I don't need a watch that goes beep, beep or flash, flash. I don't need a watch that hums its way around. I don't need a watch that goes cluck, 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 cluck. I don't need watches that need winding or batteries plugged in. I don't need watches that are self-wind in a sort of perpetual motion. I don't need anything to tell me the time. I am forever, says the Bible, with the Lord. And that is eternity. The Bible teaches me that whilst I'm on earth, I have loved ones that I shall leave behind when I die. And some of us catch in our throats, for our hearts skip a beat when we think of leaving those that we love so dearly behind. Now is the time of my appearing before the seat of Christ. Now is the time of my appearing before the Lord Jesus. And I am frightened of leaving little ones, of leaving friends, of leaving dear ones. And there is a fear that sneaks in and grips hold. Don't let me go yet, Lord. But if I leave loved ones behind, there is great personal gain in that I am in the presence of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That's great gain. I had a grandpapa that I used to like to visit. His great hairy arms would lock around me. He'd tell me great stories. He'd tell me stories of the sea of sailing boats. He'd tell me of the schooners that zipped across the oceans. Oh, he'd tell me stories of the Battle of Balaclava and the charge of the Light Brigade. He'd tell me the great stories that stirred my boyish heart. He remembered the Battle of Balaclava. He remembered all kinds of things that took place. My heart used to get stirred. And I used to think, oh, don't let him die, Lord. What'll I do for stories? There is a selfish something inside us all that says, keep our loved ones here, Lord. But it is great gain to know that they go to be with Jesus and are leaning against his gentle breast, and they're engulfed in his precious arms, and they're never let down. They're into eternity. They don't calculate time by birthdays and anniversaries. They are in the presence of Jesus. The Bible teaches us that whilst we are here, we have aching, decaying, weak bodies that will not sort of give up at times. They hurt very often. They decay all the time. But we discover that in eternity, we have a new and a glorious, wonderful body. Here we are fixed in an area of trial, in an area of sorrow, in an area of temptation, and sometimes in the area of sin. But there we are eventually in a glorious body and present with our Lord in a new life that does nothing but praise God. On this earth, I have earth's joys that are limited to a thing called happiness. Usually the give-me's give me joy. But in heaven, the having been given through Christ gives me heavenly joy that knows no bounds and there is no turning back. Down here there is service. There is a service for Christ in love. Up there there is a service that is complete in Jesus Christ the Lord. I say to you, we lose so much when we die, but we gain so infinitely more. For me to die is gain. And the greatest investment I can make today is believing in Jesus Christ that when I die, this life that I have lived shall have some purport in eternity. Look, here is the desire expressed in verse 23. I have a strong desire, says Moffat, translates this, I have a strong desire to depart. I have a strong desire to embrace. I have an intense longing. When he puts it that way, we discover the Christian that is pushed and pulled in every direction, saying, rather than being pushed and pulled, I have a strong desire, Lord, to be with thee. You ever feel like that? A strong, deep, burning, agonizing, almost pull to be in the presence of the Father. I'd rather die than be like this. Is that what you say? My dear friend, that's not correct. We must understand that it is so sweet to be with Jesus. It is so sweet to be close to the Lord Jesus. Not to be with Him rather than like this, but to be with Him because to be with Him is to be with the beauty that is far surpasses all the beauty this world has ever known. He being fairer than the lilies of the valley. He being fairer than the brightness of the morning star. He being fairer than 10,000. Young men and women, that makes Jesus more handsome than all the fellas you'll ever meet. And more beautiful than all the girls you'll ever look at. That makes Jesus more magnificent than all the business enterprises you'll ever develop. And all the things that you'll ever build, it makes the Lord Jesus the altogether lovely one. The second thing, here is a dilemma expressed, verses 23 and 4. I'm torn in two directions, says the apostle. I want to stay around here. I long to leave this world. On the other hand, it is probably more necessary that for you, that I should stay here on earth. This is how J.B. Phillips translates that. Here we see a great tug of war. And the apostle can do nothing about it. He's being pulled in both directions. The people have a need of his ministry. And the Lord has a need of his apostle. And the apostle in the midst of that tug of war, he wants to be with the Lord Jesus, but the people need him. And so he is rather like a chess piece. He is played one square at a time. We are to live a day at a time. We are to live one time upon a time. We are to live one precept upon a precept. One line we are to cross after another. We are to live one unit at a time, one area of play at a time. We are going to die, but will we have lived for Christ? Do you live for yourself? Why are you going to school? Well, I have to get these credits. I want to go into this profession. May God bless you in the profession. But young men and women, those of us who are older will tell you this with absolute authority. But the Bible will tell you with more authority. For it says this to every one of us. And it says it very clearly. That we will die. And only if our motive is to serve Christ are we right. There needs to be no other motive in our lives. Sure. Get the highest degree that is available. Sure. Be the most splendid student in the whole university. Sure. Achieve the highest honors of your land. Sure. Do it! Go and do it! Finish the course! Become a champion! But let the championship goal be motivated by the glory of Jesus Christ. Aim at Him and let Him know that all you long for is His glory. If it's in engineering, if it's in mathematics, if it's in physical education, if it's in the development of skills, whatever your forte, my dear young friend, do it all for the honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. For you have one life to live, and only what's lived and done for Christ will last. The epitaph behind every Christian comes from Psalm 23. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy will never follow the person that is not right with Christ. The accolades of mankind cannot reach the well done thou good and faithful servant that is spoken so gently and obviously by Jesus. Notice in the third instance, there is a departure expected. The apostle says this, I have a desire to depart. I have a great desire. Verse 23, I have a desire, I want to go. I want to be with Jesus. I have a desire, I want to go. I want to be in heaven, that's my future home. I want to go. The desire is that I enter into eternity. I want to do this. There is a recognition, I will depart. There is a desire, I want to depart. You stand in the airport, and they call out the flight numbers. You stand by the dockside, and they announce the departure of the ferry or the liner. You get your car packed, and you announce to your friends, we're leaving, we're off. Goodbye, dear friends. Oh, there's a weeping. Oh, there's a joy. But you enter into a new journey. You enter into a new experience. You may be going over the vast land of this continent. You may be traveling throughout the world. You may be just crossing the town. You may be only going a few blocks away. But you enter into a new experience and you say, we leave that we may arrive. There is a desire to depart. And the apostle says this, I long to depart for heaven. For me to die is gain. Let me ask you, all of you, if you were going to be dying tonight, if we could say without a shadow of a doubt, in a few hours we would be dead, would you walk into heaven as you walk into the bank when you're going to withdraw money? When you've stored so much money in the bank, you walk in when you want to withdraw it with a piece of paper and you hand it very confidently across the counter and you say, I have come for my gain. Isn't that right? Now that's how Christians are to enter into heaven. And Jesus gave us a blank check. And he says in effect through the apostle, when you walk into heaven, when you enter into the presence of Jesus Christ, that is gain. And you put the check across the counter, as it were, and receive the interest on the life you've lived. Now, what interest would you put on your life? 1%? 10%? How much interest on your life? God gave you the life. How did you use it? Did you waste it? God gave you the life. Where did you use it for Him? What did you do with the life that He gave you? Some of you have become rich. Some of you have become very comfortable. Some of you just dawdle along. Now, what did you do with the dawdling along or the comfortability or the richness? What did you do with all that? Are you honoring God? Are you honoring Christ with what He gave you? The time that you have. Oh, you have so much time. It's not very much, but it is so much. And God knows when it's cut off because He knew when it was started. Now, what are you doing with that time? I know. You're like me. You're so busy. Pushed by this. Pulled by that. Manipulated by some other. I know. But God did give it to you. You can use it. You can glorify Him with it. How will your life be lived? Will it earn interest? The Lord Jesus said there was a man that was given 10 beautiful talents or abilities. And he took those 10 abilities and he made them into another 10. And when the father called him into some reckoning, he said, look, there's the 10 you gave me and there's 10 I've earned with them. Do you have the ability to play the piano? Then make sure that you're 10 times better at time of dying than when you started playing. For God will ask you for a record, an account. Notice, will you, whatever your talent, God has given you an ability. And that ability must be worked so that it is excellent, so that He may say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Did He call you to be a missionary? Did He call you to be a preacher? Did He call you to be a wife? Did He call you to be a carpenter, a banker, a doctor, a candlestick maker? Did He call you to be a butcher? What did He call you to be? My dear friend, do it as unto the Lord, that you might discover that at the end of your life, you have well invested the time given that God may joyfully give to you all eternity, and say, well done, sit thou here at my right hand. Departure is expected, and the destiny is envisioned to be with Christ, which is far better. I love to see my destination. I enjoy looking out and seeing where it is I'm going. I remember the first experience of seeing a long way off. I was in a beaten up old aeroplane that I was sure would never get us home. And I was sitting beside the pilot and he looked out and he said, there, see? That's where we're going. And I looked and all I could see were some fields. I said, can you land in a field? He said, sure, land anywhere. That's where we're going. I could still only see fields. I said, well, let me put it another way. Is there a runway down? Oh, there's a big runway down there. Can't you see it? It's right there. I couldn't see it. Then he grinned. He said, well, I can't see it either. I just know it's there. And the plane came lower and lower. And soon I saw over the top of some trees, there was indeed a runway. And we did indeed put down. I was very relieved. For I'd watched the fuel gauges going to empty. I'd listened to the engines beginning to cough and splutter. And we weren't high enough to jump out. We were low enough to get killed. And I wasn't at all confident about this fellow. He was my age. And I knew that this was either the second or third time he'd been out on his own. When he said, pull the sails in, I knew it was the first time. Now listen to Weymouth as he translates this little piece of scripture. He says, where it's recorded in the Authorized Version to me, to be with Christ is far better. Weymouth says that you should look at that scripture again and look at the original language and read it this way. To be with Christ is far, far better. It is far, far better. To be with the Lord Jesus is tremendous. There is no purgatory. There is no sleeping in between living and being in the presence of Jesus. There is none. I don't know what your background is, but you may have been taught that there is a purgatory and some candles have to be lit and some prayers have to be prayed so that you can get out of purgatory somehow and get up into the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You may have learned that you go to sleep when you die. My dear friend, that's not so. The body dies. The Spirit returneth unto God. And those of us that are born again should shout out hallelujah. Trouble is you're all Baptists or something. How exciting! I don't have to wait to go to be with Jesus. I'm not in some outer chamber. I'm not kept in some dreadful place next door to hell. I am released. I am released from my body. And the moment I gain that release, I am present with the Lord Jesus, which is far, far better. Now, why do I tell you all this? Because some of you feel death is a terrifying thing. No, the means of dying is the frightening thing, my dear friend. Death itself has no problem for anyone believing in Jesus. And here's the reason. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. For me to die is gain. I gain the presence of Jesus in the most real way that can possibly be. I am present with Him. It is gain. I lose this world. I lose this dust. I lose all this paraphernalia. I lose this system. I lose the devil forever and ever. I am not bombarded by demons. I'm not bombarded by Satan. I'm not encouraged by lewdness, and I'm not encouraged by temptations in any way. I am free. So I look at the grave and I say, grave, what do you think? You've got some victorious thing to tell me? You're going to gobble me up? I look at death and I say, death, you think you're destroying me? No way. You have no sting. You have no victory. For we are conquerors in Christ Jesus. We're alive unto God. In Christ is our hope of glory. In Christ is newness of life. My dear, dear friend, if you've been scared to die, it's time for you to get right with Jesus Christ. For those of you believing in Him, get your thinking caps right. Set your hearts straight with Him so that you can understand to die is great gain for the Christian. It's like walking into the bank, having invested so much, and you say, bank, give me my interest. Give me what I've gained over all these years. And if you can imagine it this way, your spirit leaves your body, enters into the banking house of heaven, and simply stands there. The teller will not ask for the receipts. The teller knows your record. And the teller will say, come here. This is yours. This is your gain. You're in glory. You're to be with Jesus. And just as the young bride, some of you are young, not long married. Is that right? Some of you, you look pretty young anyway. And there are some Abrahams amongst us. Not long married. And still gooey. And in all your gooiness, it's a joy to be together. Is that right? Some of you have been a long time married and you feel gooey still. You're a gooey lot. And so it is when the bride is with the Lord Jesus. It is great gain. You ever thought of that? Let's pray. Our Father, we simply turn to Thee at this moment and ask at this moment that Thou would explain to us in our souls how it is we may gain so much by simply trusting Thee. Oh, to only trust Thee now, to only come into that position at this moment, Lord. What joy beyond compare. Take our lives at this minute. Let there be some young person here, Father, who is able to say, Lord, let me gain. Even though it be another 50 years, let me gain. For those of us who are older, let us be comforted that death is not an awesome thing, but simply the taking up, the cashing in, as it were, of our interest rates. Father, some of us hang our heads in shame. We have not invested wisely. We have not invested carefully. But we have wasted. We have absconded when we should have stayed. Oh, Father, teach us now how to bring our investments, cash them, and reinvest, that the lives we live may be truly dedicated to Thee, not to a parent, not to a friend, not to a relative, but to Thee, that we may be able to put mother and father, and brother and sister, and children aside, that our whole motive may be pure, that all the days of our lives may be spent in the presence of our Lord. We ask this for thy name's sake. Amen.